The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What is going on, everybody? A happy Easter, Passover, and all those good things here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Got a great show for you tonight, and it's all about family. Gary Clark Jr. right there from his new album that is out now. It is called JPEG Raw, having to do with photography. Gary Clark is taking photos and stuff now. He's doing a lot of photography and stuff. It's his fourth studio album. Let me tell you something. This guy is so much more than the blues. He is awesome. If you have not seen him live in concert, I encourage you to do so. I'm going to be seeing him in Philly in June. He's doing the Stone Pony Summer Stage down in Asbury Park also in June. I might just take a flyer and run down there and just listen on the boardwalk for a little bit while he's playing. But let me tell you something. He is a phenomenally talented singer, songwriter, guitar player. Unbelievable. This song, What About the Children, he did with Stevie Wonder. They came up with this song. And cool thing about Gary Clark Jr., his sisters, for the first time, are touring with him as his backing vocalists. Really cool. So it's all about family. And speaking of family, coming up in 20 minutes, my cousin, Dean Hackham, he's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Hotel. He's going to join me on the program. It's an interview I recorded last Sunday, Palm Sunday, at my cousin Pam's house, his mom. Not only will we talk about what he does at the hotel, but Alternate Ending Brewing. See, this is where it all ties into beer. Alternate Ending Brewing and the St. Laurent have a collab beer coming out in just about 5 or 6 weeks. We're going to give you the details on that and a lot more. You're going to be able to drink it at the St. Laurent, but you're also going to be able to get it at Alternate Ending as well. And we'll tie the whole thing in. That's coming up in just about 20 minutes from now. But let's dive into some news, because there is something to get to. So Freem Family Brewers, we've had the folks from Freem on the program before, a while ago. Maybe it's time to get them back on again. The award-winning brewery, of course, from Hood River, Oregon, is thrilled to announce the opening of a new tap room in the historic Milwaukee City Hall building. The expansion is slated to open next April 2025. It signifies a major milestone for Freem, renowned for its exceptional craft beers and community-focused ethos. So the tap room will be housed partially in the former fire station of the historic City Hall building. It's set to be a vibrant community hub. It'll feature a spacious pergola-covered outdoor patio, a private dining and event space upstairs for various brewery and community events, and a lounge area reminiscent of the popular Bear's Den in Hood River. The tap room will offer more than 20 taps, including a variety of Freem beers and craft cocktails, with seating for over 100 guests. Now, neighboring with Freem in that building will be Keeper Coffee. They're known for their commitment to quality, community, and excellent coffee. Keeper have become a favorite in the Southeast neighborhood spot since their opening back during the pandemic in 2020. They're celebrated for their house-made pastries and espresso drinks served in antique ceramics. This is cool. So they're going to be opening, the coffee shop will be opening early spring of 2025. Freem will have the brewery open by April of next year. This sounds really cool. So coffee and beer. This is becoming the what seems to be the magic elixir, right? Coffee and beer. Coffee in the morning, beer in the afternoon, evening. It's a cool concept. I love it. I love it. And I love that they're doing this and repurposing a historic building, I'm sure, the City Hall building, and repurposing it to do other things, which I think is really cool. So kudos to Freem for putting that together. Kit, non-alcoholic brewing, renowned for its award-winning and crushable non-alcoholic beer, thrilled to announce a significant milestone in its growth through an expansion of footprint and distribution across key chains, marking a significant milestone for the brand. New distribution will be down much of the East Coast. So they've secured outlets in retail chains like Wegmans, Big Y, and Price Chopper, along with enhancing and expanding their current assortment and distribution within Whole Foods and Total Wine. So the new added territories that now carry Kit's non-alcoholic craft beer include New York metro area, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, D.C. metro, Virginia, and Georgia. The strategic expansion broadens the company's geographical reach to most of the East Coast. And it's interesting. I saw a piece from, why am I blanking on his name? Oregon. See, now I got to go. Now I have to look online. Birvana. Yeah, let me see. This is what happens, folks, when you're doing things. Jeff Allworth. When you're doing things early in the morning and you're trying to put stuff together. So Jeff Allworth came up with this thing on Birvana about non-alcoholic beer not too long ago, an article. And I'll post it for you guys to look at. He's saying that non-alcohol is not having the big surge that people think it is. And I think there's some truth to that, because I think that people are not drinking non-alcoholic beer. I think that's what it is. I didn't delve too far into the article. I haven't really gone through it. So this is just based on my opinion off the top of my head, and something when I was with the Lager Room guys about a week and a half ago, we were discussing what is the future for craft beer and how do you regain some of that market space. I think you've got kids, a generation of kids, you know, that are 21 to 30 that are not drinking beer. They're not drinking non-alcoholic beer either. They're drinking, maybe they're drinking spirits. Maybe they're drinking canned cocktails. Maybe they're doing edibles. Maybe they're just not drinking at all. And I think that's part of what we're seeing. We're seeing a generational shift where kids aren't looking to get inebriated at a young age. They're sort of focused on other things. And so they're losing that market space. I think craft beer is something that you get into at an older age, and I think craft brewers want to see younger people getting into it because obviously it helps their bottom line. I think we're seeing a shift, and how do you get that back? Look, the bottom line is you have to make good quality stuff. If your beer is good, people are going to come. If you have your loyal customers, they're going to come. But you've had inflation over the last couple of years. Wages are a little bit down. Inflation is up slightly. You've got some issues there. People are holding on to their money. They're not spending as frivolously as they once did, especially during the pandemic when there was a lot of, I don't want to say free money, but available money coming your way. So I think that has a lot to do with it, and something that craft breweries definitely have to take into account. But I do think that there is some space for non-alcoholic beer, 100%. So, you know, it's something that we'll continue to look at as the days and months go on. Jersey Girl Brewing, they're celebrating their 8th anniversary. It's the weekend of April 12th through the 14th. Food trucks, music, much more going on that weekend. And speaking of the beers, they're going to be releasing an amazing 8% ABV Doppelbock on tap and in release in just a couple of days. They're also in the process of releasing not only 12-ounce cans, but also a beautiful rebrand of the beer. So smaller versions of their beers in 12-ounce cans, which I think is great. Rake Breaker is going to be one of them. And I do think this is, again, another trend. I think people don't want to be drinking 16-ounce beers anymore. I understand why breweries do it, but I think we're starting to see a shift of that 12-ounce can. You can consume a 12-ounce can faster than you can a 16-ounce beer. Usually, you leave out some of that, you know, 4, 5, maybe 6 ounces when you're pouring a beer. So, something to consider. We'll see what happens there. Our good friends from the B3, the Beer Barbecue Bacon Showdown. Tickets are on sale now, Saturday, May 18th, Menin Arena Field. 30 New Jersey craft breweries, each serving 3 styles of beer, one rare or created specifically for the event. The VIP is noon to 1, great food. Chris Massey's going to be doing the cooking. It's going to be awesome. Tons of stuff. I'm a judge at this event. Food, music, beer, how can you beat it? NJBeerBBQFest.com is the website where you can purchase tickets. And I will be at that event as a judge. Cannot wait. It is a benefit for the Chester First Aid Squad. It is Saturday, May 18th. 1 to 5 is general admission. Noon to 1 is VIP. Fantastic event. Beach House, celebrating 10 years. Saturday, May 11th, right on the rooftop. 9 guest breweries, 18 guest taps. offering tons of stuff. They're going to have a DJ spinning tunes. They're going to have a beer, a band later on from 4 to 7. You pay for what you drink. You can meet all the breweries from 1 to 6 p.m. I am doing my level best to attend this event. I think this is a great thing, and I haven't been to Beach House in quite some time, so it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to. And then finally, Killsboro Pizza Party, they're back Saturday, July 20th, noon to 4, Snug Harbor Cultural Center. 100% of the proceeds goes towards Snug Harbor. Unlimited beer samples, 20-plus breweries, slices from legendary New York City pizzerias. Early bird tickets are going on sale soon. Make sure you get your tickets. It will sell out, and I will absolutely be at that event. Cannot wait. When we come back after a short break, it's more news and notes from around the beer world. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
I've got habits that I just can't break. When I think about it, I start to shake. I've been feeling like this for a while. I always hide behind my crooked smile.
Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, the Answer. The Harry, I almost said. Gary Clark Jr., his new album, JPEG Raw, Habits. What a great album. I cannot wait to see this guy in June. He is awesome. Go check him out. You will not be disappointed. Now, coming up in just about 10 minutes, my cousin, Dean Hackham, he's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Hotel. He's going to join me on the program. It's an interview I did at his mom's place. Just last Sunday. Not only are we going to talk about what he does at the hotel, but Alternate Ending and the St. Laurent have a collab beer that's coming out somewhere in the next, I would say, 6 to 7 weeks. We're going to give you the details on that and a lot more, and that's happening in just about 10 minutes from now. Let's dive into news. There's a lot of it. Angry Orchard, they are releasing a brand new Crisp Light, right? So they did a survey that found more than 40 million Americans have packed alcohol beverages in their luggage when going on spring break, commonly to save time or money, with more than two-thirds wishing they didn't have to. Angry Orchard, the nation's leading hard cider maker, stepping in to help. They're launching new Crisp Light. Angry Orchard is helping these lucky spring breakers travel light by eliminating the hassle of hauling alcohol in their luggage with a chance to win a fully stocked beverage fridge at their spring break destination so they can drop their bags at the door and get the party started. This is pretty cool. So now, Angry Orchard Crisp Light, just 6 grams of sugar, 120 calories. It's a 12-ounce can and 6-packs cans, serving in at just 4.3% ABV. A slightly less sweet finish on this. And if you go to Instagram or Twitter, with the Help Us Angry Orchard Travel Light hashtag and insert the destination with Angry Orchard, at Angry Orchard, drinkers have a chance to win a week's supply of Crisp Light in the form of cold, hard cash. Now, the sweepstakes was open from the end of February, and it ends on April 4th. So you have just a couple of days here to get it in. Winners will be notified via direct message from the official Angry Orchard social channels or by email. Again, you can visit them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Angry Orchard. Good luck. The Battleship Beer Fest, back on the Camden waterfront, featuring exclusively New Jersey beers and breweries. Festival is the most unique venue in the state. Tickets include a tour of the ship, access to over 30 different quality craft breweries, entertainment, and more. The VIP hour starts at noon. Will feature exclusive beers that you can't get during general admission. It's $60 for general admission from 1 to 5 p.m., $75 for VIP tickets, and that takes place at noon, and then you get in until 5 p.m. The interesting thing, and I'm actually looking it up right now, because I actually have to give you the date, because, oddly enough, I didn't copy down the date here. Let's see here. Brewers Association. Let's see. Brewers Guild. Let me just go down here. And here's the Battleship, the Beer Fest. June 22nd. There you go. June 22nd is the Beer Fest. It's 1 to 5 is the general admission. That's $60, $75 for VIP tickets. That starts at noon, and you get you go till 5 p.m. Now, the battleship right now undergoing important dry docking maintenance. There's a slight chance that while the ship will be back in port, it will not be ready for visitors. If that's the case, the Beer Fest takes place on the pier alongside the ship. Tour vouchers will be provided for future visits. The actual festival is on the ship, so you get to hang on the ship while drinking beers. It's a cool event. They do it every year, and 100% of the proceeds goes towards the New Jersey Brewers Guild, the Brewers Association. Brewers Guild? Brewers Guild of New Jersey. I keep forgetting. They merged, and I forgot what name they used. Excuse me. But this is a cool event. June 22nd, definitely take advantage if you can get down there. Speaking of South Jersey, Flying Fish Brewing, while their tap room closed in Somerdale, they are delighted to share some exciting news. So they're embarking on a revitalizing new chapter, ensuring that the brews you know and love will continue to flow. So they have announced a partnership with Guilford Hall Brewery down in Baltimore. The collaboration means their loyal fans can still savor the flavors of Flying Fish beers on every occasion. Rest assured, our commitment to quality and consistency remains our highest priority. Flying Fish Brewing Company will maintain its brand identity, recipes, and signature flavors, upholding our dedication to the brand's heritage and paying homage to those that have been a part of our journey for the past 27 years. This means more of our exceptional brews will be available for distribution along New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, and eventually expanding to Maryland, New York, and Virginia. For more questions, contact us and get your hands on some Flying Fish beer. You can go to their social media pages. They have a new Instagram account. They are excited for the future. I like to get these guys that purchased all of this stuff, not the brewery itself, but the licenses and obviously the recipes and stuff. I'd like to get in touch with them and get them on the show to talk about how they're going to do this expansion. But I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they will be at the Atlantic City Beer and Music Fest. So I will definitely be at their table to chat with them a little bit in just a couple of weeks. I don't know if these guys are there because I hadn't looked, but Stone Brewing is re-releasing their Sublimely Self-Righteous Black IPA. It was retired back in 2015. They've had calls constantly to get this beer out and back in the hands of the masses. They are doing that. It is back nationwide now for a limited time in all its glory. So wherever you buy Stone Brewing, ask for the Sublimely Self-Righteous Black IPA, and they'll get it for you. And then we move to Colorado. The Colorado Brewers Guild has announced a record-breaking 225-plus participating breweries, which is approximately half the number of craft breweries in the state of Colorado, that will be taking part in the 9th annual Colorado Pint Day coming up on April 10th. The event always held on a Wednesday during the spring, which is typically a slower period for breweries. The CBG fundraiser, in which $1 of each pint glass sold is donated to support the Colorado Brewers Guild and its mission to promote, protect, and propel independent craft breweries in Colorado. It's a widely attended and sought-after tradition that has developed a cult following throughout the years, with craft beer lovers across the state flocking to participating member breweries selling limited edition Colorado Pint Day glasses to complete their collections. Guilds in New York and Texas have also done this, and it's a great event. It marks the third year in a row where the Guild hosted an art competition among brewery members, and Ryan Montgomery, a beer tender for Ramblebine Brewing Company out of Grand Junction, provided the winning design for the 2024 Colorado Pint Day theme, Spring Skiing and Pond Skimming. There's a list of participating brewers at the CBG website, which is coloradobeer.org. Odell is taking part, Weld Works, Odyssey Brew Works, New Terrain, Mother Tucker, Main Stage, Lukey Brewing. Who else here? Left Hand is taking is getting in. Liquid Mechanics, Knuckle Puck, Horse and Dragon Brewing, Green Mountain, Great Divide, Gravity Brewing, Flight Company Brewing. So many of these places are taking part. Kudos to them. We're hoping to talk to somebody from the Colorado Brewers Guild on next week's program to talk about this more. Staying in the state of Colorado, Weldworks, thrilled to announce their spring seasonal offerings. A strawberry cheesecake, which is Weldworks' ever-popular cheesecake sour line, bringing the classic dessert to liquid form. It is a strawberry puree, savory cream cheese, rich graham cracker crust. It's an approachable 4.5% ABV. Strawberry cheesecake, the perfect indulgent drink without the fuss of crumbly pie. And then double dry hopped, it's a unicorn thing, a double dry hop IPA, cosmic amounts of Citra, Mosaic, and Lotus hops, flavors of fresh citrus, juicy peach, and a subtle hint of creamy vanilla round out this magnificent 8.5% ABV beer. It is available now in four packs. It'll be available at participating retail locations through most of WorldWorks distribution network, including New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Washington State as well. And then finally, Dogfish Head, Sippin' and Flippin'. They are launching this in partnership with Record Store Day starting April 1st, which is tomorrow. Commemorative metallic gold records will be hidden across independently owned record stores across the U.S. If you find one of these golden records, you're not only winning a swag bag full of goodies, but you'll also be entered for the chance to win the Sippin' and Flippin' Grand Prize Concert Trip, which will run through, this contest runs through April 30th. And on Record Store Day on 420, Dogfish Head and Record Store Day will also drop a new vinyl album featuring Lenny Kaye. He was the former guitarist for the Patti Smith Group, alongside a medley of other rock and roll legends. And throughout April, Dogfish Head and Record Store Day will also present a series of concerts, events, and after parties in Nashville, Brooklyn, and Philadelphia. Dogfishhead.com for more information on that. When we come back after a short break, my cousin, Dean Hackam, he's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Hotel, is going to join me on the program. This is the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Welcome back to the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter, or X as they call it, at Al Gattulo, Instagram at Gattulo, GATTULLO, Facebook.com/AGCraftBeerCast. Of course, we're on iTunes. You do a search for AG Craft Beer Cast, Alexa Ready as well. We're on Odyssey.com. We're on iHeart. And finally, we are, of course, on the Hopped Up Network. If you head over to the HoppedUpNetwork.com on Mondays, you can download and listen to the podcast version of this show or the many other beer-related podcasts that are there for your listening pleasure. Now, my next guest happens to be family. That's right. He's my cousin's son. He's been bartending and making his own beer as a home brewer for quite some time now. And I, along with my wife and his mom and others, helped to make some beer during COVID. And by the way, came out pretty damn good. He's taken his mixology skills full-time as the bar manager of the St. Laurent Social Club. They're in Asbury Park, New Jersey. And by the way, over the last 10 years, Asbury Park has just grown in leaps and bounds. You can check them out on Facebook or Instagram at the St. Laurent Social Club, or you can follow my cousin, Drinks on Dean. That is on Instagram as well. But let me welcome to the Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer, a little familia, Dean Hackam. Dean, thanks for joining me. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now, everyone's journey is different when they get into the business, whether it's being, you know, somebody in the beer business, doing mixology or whatever. But the path that you took to become a full-time mixologist, bar manager, et cetera, was not really a linear path. What made you decide that this was the career for you?
It honestly kind of came about just due to the way that my family always has been. Our family has always been. I think that from a young age, I saw really great hospitality from both my grandmother and my mother. And it's something that came naturally. It was just really kind of drilled into myself, my sister, my brother. We were always helping out with family parties. We're used to hosting multiple people at our home. So when it came to working in a restaurant and then actually being a bartender, the instant gratification and being able to put smiles on people's faces, as well as the things that we already knew just from hosting our own family in our home, it seemed right.
Now, as I recall, your mom, Pam, bought you a home brewing kit for Christmas or your birthday one year, and after a few tries, you made some pretty good beer with it. And I'm assuming that started the spark into wanting to make beer on a bigger level.
That's right. Yes. My mom got it for me for Christmas, and it wasn't a Mr. Beer kit. Thank God. I think those things are kind of a little bit too simple when it comes to making beer. It actually had some malt syrup and things like that. Still a very kind of intro to beer and beer making brewing system, but it was a lot of fun. And from there, I just started to put together a huge amount of craft brewing equipment in my own home. And then that parlayed into me just being a bartender, moving my career to Triumph Brewing Company in Red Bank. And there I got my first taste of making beer at scale.
Now, we're talking with my cousin, Dean Hackam. He's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Social Club in Asbury Park, New Jersey. You can check them out on Facebook or Instagram, the St. Laurent Social Club, or you can follow my cousin, Drinks on Dean. He posts some really cool stuff. And there's a reason behind this whole interview. People think, oh, what do you got your cousin on for? We'll get to that in just a moment. We're here on the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer. Now, the St. Laurent has a couple of restaurants around New Jersey, Old Bridge, Mattawan, and you create the drink menus for those restaurants?
That's right. I am the bar manager for Heirloom at the St. Laurent, so I have pretty much full creative control over the cocktails, the beer, everything that we're serving in-house. The only thing that I don't have a hold of is the wine program. And that is actually for a really great reason. The owner, Neely, she wants our wine program to be female-focused. So all of the wines that we serve to our guests are touched by the hands of a woman in a meaningful way. So who better to run that program than a woman? But when it comes to cocktails and beer, I make all of those decisions and they give me full creative license.
And so when you say that it's all female oriented, so you're saying that the wines that they select for the restaurant themselves were made by females themselves, or, you know, is it just down the line females? I just want to make sure that we're clear on that.
Yes. So the entire ethos is a woman has to have had a hand in the winemaking process in a meaningful way. So whether it's the vineyard grower or the vintner herself or the winery owner, there is a female lead on making that wine in some way, shape, or form.
Got it. And in the course of doing that with these other restaurants here, of creating the drink menus for these restaurants, one of them happens to be next to Alternate Ending Brewing in Mattawan. So how did this collab between the St. Laurent and Alternate Ending take place?
So that actually came about right when Lita was starting to open. So the beverage director for our entire restaurant group, Ricardo Rodriguez, really great guy that came up from Miami. He is, I mean, I think just like anybody in the beverage space, is a big fan of beer. He's a culinary mind. He really likes to cook food. He makes beer himself. But it was really just a no-brainer when you have a brewery right across the parking lot from you, you got to do something with it. So they decided that they wanted to do an Iberian lager. So they're using Spanish paella rice in that beer as an adjunct. And it really just kind of creates this really soft, supple, flavorful lager style beer that they're serving over there. So they were the first ones. They kicked it off with that collaboration with Alternate Ending Beer Company. And then we have seen some really just meteoric rise at the St. Laurent Social Club, and they said, well, we got to do it over in Asbury Park too.
And so the beer is going to be exactly the same, or is it going to be a different version for the St. Laurent?
It'll definitely be a different version, but we're going to stay in that same vein. So the fact is they have an Iberian style lager, like I said. They're using the Spanish paella rice. They said, well, why don't we keep it in that family, let's do another lager. But what do you think is going to work? Where are you selling your beer? Like, what do those sales look like? And so what we decided to do was we wanted to do a lager that had a little bit more hop character. And we're going to do kind of like an heirloom style rice, because heirloom is our name. So we took a really kind of niche flaked rice and we put that in the mash bill, and then we're using Luminosa hops, which is kind of I'd say it's a hipster hop, and it kind of works for Asbury Park because I mean it's kind of synonymous, right? So we did a very similar mash bill, but it's a very different beer at the end of the day.
Do we have an ABV on it yet, or we're still in the process?
So we just brewed about a week and a half ago. And
that's all right, Pam. We're fine.
So we just brewed about a week and a half ago. We're aiming for about a 4.8 or a 4.6 in terms of our final ABV. We didn't want to do something too high on that end. We don't want to taste the alcohol too much in that beer. I mean, we're not only well known for our restaurant and our lounge bar, we're also known for our pool.
Right.
And we've got that pool outside, and we want people drinking a really nice beer next to that pool. So we want that like pool crushing beer that's flavorful but truly sessionable. That's really kind of the key with what we're trying to achieve here.
And so the ballpark, I guess, for the release, if you started a week and a half ago, I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere in that first week of May, maybe second week of May, so somewhere around 7-8 weeks.
That's totally correct. Yeah, we're looking at the second week of May. We're going to host a release party at the hotel. The date and time are still TBD, but we're going to be really excited to be having all of the brewers from Alternate Ending, Scott, the owner of Alternate mm-hmm. Ending, coming down there, and then obviously the members of our social club and the public. This will be open to the public event.
And the beer is going to be available just at the St. Laurent. Is Alternate Ending going to be releasing it as well, or it's just going to be at the St. Laurent?
Yes. Alternate Ending is going to keep a little bit on their end as well, so you can either visit them in the tap room and enjoy some straight off the tap with them. They'll probably have some packaged if you want to take that to go, and then we're going to have cans at the St. Laurent. We're not going to do any kegs at the St. Laurent. We want to keep it fresh in the cans, keep it as cold as possible, and it's what we're doing.
That is smart. We're talking with my cousin Dean Hackham, who's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Social Club in Asbury Park, New Jersey, and as he just said, they're going to be featuring a beer from Alternate Ending Brewing that will be released sometime in the beginning of May as the pool season starts to really kick in down at Asbury Park. You can check out the St. Laurent Facebook, Instagram, the St. Laurent Social Club. You can follow my cousin on Instagram at Drinks on Dean. We're here on the Al Gattulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The answer at my lovely cousin Pam's condo, which is quite beautiful here. I'm not going to tell you where it is, but if you know where Bird's Mouth is, you'll know where it is. Now, as part of your job as bar manager, you've traveled to different places to learn about the alcohol that you put in your drinks. Why is that so important as a bartender?
I think it's not only important as a bartender, it's really just important as a consumer to know exactly where your things are, what you're putting in your body is coming from. These days, we're seeing the rise of celebrity brands. We're seeing a lot of really mass marketed alcohol that is, I'm going to be honest, it's made by cutting corners. You're not seeing things that you really, I mean, the groceries that you buy, the cereal, the whatever it is, you're trying to watch your health. When it comes to the food that you're eating, you should also be looking at that when it comes to your drinking as well. So as a bar manager, as a bartender, I want to be able to inform my guests on what it is that they're drinking and help them make choices that I know drinking's not particularly healthy, but if we're going to be doing it, let's make the best option available to everybody.
And what we're drinking right now, by the way, full disclosure, we're drinking Alternate Ending's Joel's Wings, a stout that they made in remembrance of somebody, I guess, that they knew or someone, and they brewed this stout for them. Tahitian bananas, Tahitian vanilla, amazing. And that's part of it, you know, learning about the ingredients that you're putting in the beer. Now, Dean, last year, if my memory serves me, you got a chance to work with, in addition, you do the St. Laurent hosts these cocktail classes and all kinds of stuff, but you got a chance to work with celebrity chef Eric Agyapong. What was that experience like?
I still to this day, one of my favorite collaboration weekends that I've ever done. I got to see Eric actually just last week. Again, he is an amazing individual. His ties to his roots in Africa with his cooking are just so inspiring. I wish that everybody kind of took that approach with their cooking. I think a lot of people definitely do, but Eric as a chef, as an individual, is an amazing person. I can't speak enough about him.
And it, you're right about that. I think people do take pride in their cooking, but when you're taking it to that next level, to that high end where you're charging somebody $35, $40, $50 a dish, you want to put that pride in it, that love in it, because you want to make sure when they eat it, they're going to talk about it and want people to come and try that stuff. Last question for me. We're running out of time here. Who was your biggest influence in your career?
In my career, it's definitely my mom. Every drink that I make, I want to bring balance and flavor all to the table. But my mom was the first person that taught me about flavor and cooking. I still serve an old fashioned to guests when they want something new, but they want something familiar. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from. It's my mom's favorite old fashioned. I give it to them and everybody loves it.
Well, there you go. There you go. Mom gets the big shout out. See? And she's crying too. Even better. See, even better on this Palm Sunday. My guest has been my cousin Dean Hackham, who is the bar manager for the St. Laurent Social Club. Don't worry, Pam. My mom cried too when I was on with Steve Adubato and I said that it was her that influenced me, but we'll, that's a story for another time. My guest has been my cousin, Dean Hackham. He's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Social Club in Asbury Park, New Jersey. You can check him out on Facebook, Instagram at the St. Laurent Social Club. You can follow my cousin at Drinks on Dean. You got to see the cocktails this guy puts together. They are amazing. And take a visit down to the St. Laurent Social Club. It is an amazing place, just a couple blocks off the beach in Asbury Park. They do a phenomenal job, and you don't have to be a member to go there. You can go there for dinner, you can make reservations, or you can just have a couple of drinks. It's great. Dean, continued success at the St. Laurent, and success on the new beer that's going to be coming out in just a couple of weeks. I can't wait to try it. Thanks so much for joining me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Please, everybody, come try us out. We'd be happy to have you there.
Up next, it's time for Suds and Duds on the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970, The Answer.
All around the world.
Sliding into that final segment of the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970. The answer, of course, as always, it's Suds and Duds. Yeah, it's like the lights are down low. You're just chilling. You're having maybe that last one before you head to bed, wherever you're listening to the Algatulo Craft Beer Cast, anywhere in the United States and, of course, around the world streaming. Let's dive in. Suds and Duds, shall we? It starts with Torch and Crown and it ends with Torch and Crown. It's a nice bookend. My thanks to John Dantzler for coming on the program a couple of weeks ago at Torch and Crown. If you haven't been there, Van Dam Street in Manhattan, you should certainly make a stop. Food's great. The beer is great. The atmosphere is awesome. They did their bat flip this week for opening day of baseball season. I was off, unfortunately. I would have went if I was still in the city working, and then I would have shot over there before heading home, but didn't get a chance to make it. But Utility is a great beer. That's what I started off with when we were doing the interview with John. A well-done cream ale, a good utility beer. This is nice. It's light. It's refreshing. It is delicious, and not enough cream ales being made in this world. If you love Genesee beer, you're going to like this beer. This is definitely one of those, and a reminiscent and a throwback of that. Bat Flip. The beer that I was just talking about that they come out with usually around this time during when baseball season opens, solid pale ale. I mean, I love this beer. You know, some would say, oh, Boat? No, it's not. It has a bite to it, but it's not like Boat. Boat from Carton has more of a, you know, it's a beer. It's a beer that beer drinkers drink is Boat. Bat Flip is the one that you're going to have while you're watching a baseball game. But you want a little subtleness to it. You want it light, but subtle. You want to be able to drink it throughout the day. Not that you can't drink both throughout the day, because you certainly can. But this is another one of those. You can drink throughout the day. But for that person who doesn't like that bitter punch of beer, this is the beer for you, Bat Flip. It's excellent. Rumahattan. This is the collab, or La Rumahattan. This is the collab that Torch and Crown did with La Roma Brewing in Mexico. This is a banging IPA with a nice, really, really nice bitter bite to it. Delicious. I really enjoyed how this sort of, you know, I was expecting one thing, and I had a feeling it was going to be more of a West Coaster because it's Mexico and, you know, that leaning towards that way. And I think West Coast IPAs are sort of making that comeback again where people are they're starting to brew them more again. The hazies are starting to become, you know, passe. And this is a really good beer. If they have it in cans, if they have it on draft at Torch and Crown, do yourself a favor, pick it up. Now, one beer that I really enjoyed very much from Torch and Crown is Dusk. What a nicely done rye-style IPA. If you like rye in your beer, this is definitely the one for you. It's a nice, dark sort of, you know, just it's got an awesome color to it, good head of foam on it, but it really drinks. It really drinks outstanding. I love it. I thought it was great. Every single thing that these guys do is just spot on. Is it blow you away? Is it like other half, like I got to run and go get it? No, but it's consistently solid. And that's exactly what you want out of your beer. Consistently solid. And that's what these guys do. And again, like I said, great spot. Van Dam Street, literally a left and a right, and you're in the Holland Tunnel. It's not far off the Holland Tunnel, maybe 5 minutes. What a great spot. One of my great spots in New Jersey, Clark, New Jersey, that is. Paragon Tap and Table. Love these guys. They do a great job. They got great beers on tap. Local, national, good stuff. Mike did a really great job before he left and headed up to Vermont. Mike, if you're listening, I'm sorry about all the snow. Not that I had anything to do with it, but I'm sorry about the snow. But anyway, Crocodile Tears by Twin Elephant. What a banging, banging Pilsner. I could drink 12 of these. It was so good. Crisp, just delicious. Just one of those beers. It's another one of those beers you want to have and you want to keep having. You want to just keep having one after the other after the other. Those are the types of beers I like. And you love those types of beers that will do well in the spring, but also are just so fantastically good for summertime drinking and not super heavy and lay all over you. Let's see. What do we have next? We had the Think I'm in Love by Foam Brewers. This is great. And what was interesting about this one from Foam, it didn't drink like an 8% beer. They make great suds, big citrus hit, but I love the fact that the 8% was sort of hidden. And again, if you have two or three of these, of course the 8% is going to catch up to you. But if you're drinking it over a certain period of time, if you're not just trying to suck it down as fast as you can, this is definitely something that does not drink like an 8%er. So it's definitely something you can have and enjoy a couple of times over. Plush, the other one by Frost, this was pretty good. It wasn't as juicy as the previous beer. I like this, but I think I like the I'm in love a little bit better than the Plush. Really good stuff. Then I had some non-alcoholic beers. This was, wait a minute. I thought I had checked in. Oh, maybe because I had checked in on one. No. I know what happened. We'll get to the other non-alcoholic beers next week. I know what happened here. Toffee Baby by BrewDog. I had used this non-alcoholic beer in a beer bread that I was making. So a good toffee aroma, thin. It drinks okay, but it was very, very thin. But it did have that toffee sort of taste to it. But I used this in a beer bread. It was a honey wheat. And it actually came out, the bread actually came out pretty good. That's why I had that. I was trying to think, why did I have this and not? But now I remember it was because I was making a beer bread. A friend of mine had gotten me some of these beer bread mixes in these bags. And one of them was a honey wheat. I think the other one was apple fritter. It was a sourdough one. And then I think a garlic one. So the apple fritter one, I think, I don't know if I'm going to use beer in that. I might with the apple fritter one, I might get a cider and use that and see how the cider plays off. But the other two, I'll probably use like a low ABV type of beer and not, you know, anything, you know, high end 7-8%. I don't think I want to do that. Osaka Night by Torch and Crown. So this is the other beer that Torch and Crown did with La Roma. Is it La Roma? Yeah, it was La Roma beer. Brewing in Mexico. I have to tell you, this is, I don't know why my computer is jumping all over the place here, flavorful. Big hit of cacao and cinnamon, subtle hit of the vanilla, and then you get the chiles. I mean, this is great. The heat's there, but it's subtle. The cacao and cinnamon right off the nose. Then you get a little bit of the vanilla as you're drinking it. And as it's warming up, you get those chiles. This is a great beer. I love how when you're making a stout and you have all of these ingredients that are in there, all these different adjuncts that you're trying to make this beer, and you get all these subtle little hints and hits of things, that's what makes the beer so much more enjoyable. The fact that I can taste every single thing, the fact that it comes off with the chocolate and the cinnamon right on the nose, then you drink it and you get that little vanilla on the back end, and then all of a sudden, here comes a little bit of heat, but it's not oppressive heat. The balance, I've said this a thousand times on this show, the balance of putting heat in a beer is so important. You really have to have a gentle touch to it because it's very easy to add too much. And, you know, again, you can always add more as you're going, but if you add too much in the beginning, you can't take it out. It's very difficult to do that. So I love this beer. It's a great beer. I've given out a couple of cans to some people. I think I have one can left. I'm glad I have one can left because I do want to savor it. It's a delicious beer. And it'll be interesting to see my cousin Dean, who was on the program tonight. It'll be interesting to see. I left a can for his mom. Interesting to see what she thinks because she loves dark stout. She loves stouts. And she has a place in Mexico, and she's there a bunch of times a year. So it'll be interesting to see if she likes these guys enough that maybe she goes out and gets some of their beers. We'll see what happens. But I have to tell you, great stuff from Torch and Crown. What a great place. And really enjoyed it. My thanks to everybody involved in the show, including my guest, my cousin Dean Hackham, who's the bar manager for the St. Laurent Hotel. And, of course, last but not least, the great Buddy Watson. I have to tell you, if you haven't been to the St. Laurent, you can visit there. You don't have to have a membership. You can certainly stop there for drinks and dinner. I believe the pool club, you have to have a membership. I think they do offer day passes, but it's one of those things you got to check their website, because I think it's one of those, like, if they have it on that day, they tell you. It's one of those things where you have to really do stuff ahead of time. But the drinks are fantastic. I've not had the food there, but I've heard the food is outstanding. It's a great little place. I'm hoping to get there at some point this summer. I'm certainly want to get there for the release of this beer with alternate ending. I think it's going to be great because that lager type, light, refreshing, you can drink a couple of them and not get overwhelmed. That is pretty cool. I will be back on the Joe Piscopo Show at 6 a.m. This has been the Al Gattullo Craft Beer Cast on AM 970 The Answer. Cheers, everybody.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.